to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Of our cool camp preview here at Dolphins Talk. I am your host, Tom Mercy. With me is Dante Calanone. Dante, good evening. How's everything going?
Going pretty good. We got a couple of good position groups to cover tonight. I get to talk about fat leets, one of my favorite pastimes as an NFL analyst. So I'm excited. It's going to be a good time.
If most of you may not know, or you do know, the fat leets are the hog mollies, the guys that protect the quarterback and open up the running lanes for the running backs. And then we're going to touch on the special teams unit, obviously with some potential changes happening. We'll get into that as we go. So, Dante, we're going to open this thing right up. We're going to talk about the offensive line. We're going to talk about the current depth chart as it reads today. Is left tackle is Austin Jackson. Left guard currently listed is Michael Dieter. Center, Matt Skura, right guard, Solomon Kinley, and right tackle, Robert Hunt. Before we dive into that, let's talk about the current depth chart. We've heard a ton of news regarding the offensive line and the potential of what this line could look like. You know, we've seen talk that Robert Hunt has shifted to right guard. Solomon Kinley has been playing left guard. And then right tackle, either Jesse Davis or potentially our second-round draft pick in Liam Eichenberg. How do you feel about the current depth chart? We talked about and touched on Brian Flores' depth chart and how he views things. He wants guys to earn the job. What do you think of the current depth chart, and do you really think that we are going to be rocking Michael Dieter at left guard?
I do not. I think that we'll see the depth chart that you just said before we got on. I think we'll see Liam Eichenberg play right tackle, which will kick Robert Hunt inside the guard, which is something that I'm personally very excited about, not only because I was very high on Liam Eichenberg in the pre-draft. I thought he's going to be a really solid tackle prospect. But Robert Hunt is and always has been a guard. I don't think that he was ever going to be a great NFL tackle. Right. Maybe you can get away with him at that position, but he was always going to be a better guard than he was a tackle. I thought that was very clear in his pre-draft evaluation, and a lot of other draft people, you know, were in that same boat. And, you know, obviously I think year two of Solomon Kinley, I think will be good at guard as well. So, you know, you like to think adding Eichenberg at right tackle and kicking Hunt inside, and then getting year two of Kinley, hopefully a healthier year two from Kinley. You know, the Dolphins might have that interior, at least the two guard spots, locked up, and then you kind of have a nice ascending right tackle in Eichenberg, at least what you hope. So I think that's the line that we end up seeing. You know, it's not bad to have somebody like Michael Dieter who can kind of play a couple of different positions and cross train and be a good backup. You know, as we saw last year, linemen go down, you're going to need guys to step up in big spots and perform. And, you know, so it's not bad to have Dieter like that, but no, I don't envision him being a week one starter, nor do I envision Jesse Davis being a week one starter either. I think that would be pretty surprising, but they haven't signed Eichenberg to a contract, so I don't think they can put him on the depth chart just yet until they actually sign his contract. Him, Javon Holland, and Hunter Long are all unsigned right now, so the Dolphins have a little bit of work to do there, but that's what I would imagine the opening day line looks like.
Yeah, you know, so let's get into the depth chart here for left tackle, full depth chart. Let's talk about each individual guy. Let's talk about potential training camp battles that we could have. So right now, penciled in, Austin Jackson at left tackle. That was the case last year. We have Robert Hunt potentially at right tackle. We touched on Liam Eichenberg there as well. We Dolphins did pick up DJ Fluker in the offseason. And as you mentioned, Jesse Davis is still on the roster, which I'm perfectly fine with. I think as a starter, a spot starter, I think he's fine. Guy that can shift and play inside at guard at times. He is a asset to the roster. Is he a great asset? No. But what he brings to the table is the versatility. And you talked about the versatility with the potential of Liam Eichenberg as well as Michael Dieter. In addition, Larnell Coleman also a potential left tackle. And Timon Paris was just signed today by the Miami Dolphins, and Jonathan Hubbard. So Pumbaa is on his way to the Dolphins roster here shortly. That is a Lion King reference for you, young Dante, if you don't know that.
I know what the Lion King is. I'm not that young. You got to give me a little bit more credit than that. I was I watched the Lion King growing up.
Okay, good. I'm glad that you did. So based on the depth chart and what we're looking at right now, what are the expectations for Austin Jackson going into year two? He had his rookie struggles. He had some injuries. He did miss some time last year with the injury. What are the expectations? He's just, what, he's 20 years old at this point, 21, going on 21. He's a young kid. He struggled at time. I think he gave up. He was in the top 10 for total pressures allowed last year. And obviously with a young quarterback like Tua, you need to have your left tackle. Granted, yes, he's a left-handed quarterback, but you still need your left tackle to protect the quarterback. What are the expectations on him for year two?
He needs to take a big jump in play. I think Austin Jackson's development from year one to year two is going to be a big barometer for how successful the Dolphins are offensively. You know, you have one weak link on that line and it can kind of start to deteriorate things. So if Austin Jackson doesn't take a substantial jump in play this year, it's going to be a problem for Miami. And you just went through the depth chart. I don't know about you, but I don't feel particularly confident in anyone behind him either. Sure, maybe, you know, Jesse Davis can be a spot starter and you might be able to survive with him, but you know, he's not very good at tackle. I think realistically, he's a guard. I know he can play tackle and we'll throw him out there, but I think realistically, he's a guard. I feel the same way about DJ Fluker. Maybe earlier in his career, Fluker was a good tackle, but I think right now he's probably a guard too. You know, maybe you want those guys playing tackle in a pinch, but if you're in that scenario, I mean, you're really, you know, grasping at straws. So Austin Jackson, I think, has a lot of expectations. And this is one of the problems with, at least that I had with drafting him in the first round, is I always viewed that Austin Jackson was a multi-year project and not a player who should have saw the football field in year one. And I think his play reflected that as a good evaluation. So the pressure is on him because he was a first round pick. If Austin Jackson was a third round pick and we didn't see him last year and he was just a guy competing for a spot, you know, the conversation around him would be different, but he's the starting left tackle on this team. He's the future of left tackle at this team. He was a top 20 selection in the draft. We traded an all pro safety for that pick. And I know that's not fair to him, but it's the reality of the situation. So the expectations on Austin Jackson are high. I think he will take a jump and play. It's hard to see him not. I mean, he was quite bad most of last season. He got off to a good start, and then things just kind of snowballed downhill. So it's hard to imagine that he'll be worse. But he does need to take a big jump and play, because if he's bad, I think it's, you know, the Dolphins are going to – they might struggle a little bit, and it's really going to be a hamperance on a team that – put a lot of investment into the offensive line. But at the end of the day, Jackson's the biggest investment that they've made in the offensive line. He's the highest drafted player. He's probably getting the most money even, which, I mean, shouldn't matter, but it does. He needs to take a big jump and play this year. It's the reality of the situation. It's a bad spot for him. It's not the spot that I would want him to be in based on what I saw from his college film, but yeah, that's where we are. So,
well, with the way Brian Flores runs the show, and we know this from many years of experience, he has no issue yanking someone that's struggling.
And yeah,
that is the core reason why Jesse Davis is still on this roster, because he has the experience. He has the ability to play pretty much anywhere on the offensive line. I haven't seen him play center, so we know he can play the guard spots, and we know that he can play the tackles. But in a spot situation, if they need to pull Austin Jackson, they're going to Jesse Davis. So with that being said, is Jesse Davis a viable enough backup to provide what the Dolphins need to do on offense in the event of injury as well as poor play?
Honestly, I don't think so. Not a tackle, at least. I think I've seen enough of Jesse Davis playing tackle to kind of say that I don't think that's going to be his best spot. You know, we saw him get, you know, just absolutely worked in that Cincinnati game a couple of years ago. I mean, I think his best film is clearly at guard. Can he play tackle for you in a pinch? Can you survive with him at that spot against a team maybe that doesn't have a dominant pass rusher? Sure. But I think one of the reasons that the pressure is on Austin Jackson is because, I mean, I just think, you know, look, I think it's fine they keep Jesse Davis around. He's a valuable piece. I think his versatility as a backup is nice. I'm not saying that he's a bad player per se, but he's not a starter. He's not. You do not want him taking the majority of your starter snaps. Can he come in and give you good work as a backup? Sure. But, I mean, I don't think you want him in there. There's a reason that you draft Austin Jackson at 18. There's a reason you spend second-round picks on Robert Hunt and Liam Eichenberg. You know, you're trying to find better tackles than Jesse Davis. That clearly the Dolphins don't want him on the field either, quite frankly. And I know that's a mean thing to say, but it's the truth. They wouldn't be investing that much in tackle if they thought that Jesse Davis was the answer. So, again, I agree with you. I think he's good to keep on the roster. But if he's playing the majority of your snaps, if it gets to the point where he's better than Austin Jackson on a, you know, game-to-game basis and he wins that job from him, the Dolphins are in a really bad spot. I mean, really, really bad. That's a gigantic wasted opportunity and resource at that point if Jackson loses that spot to Jesse Davis. So we'll see. I hope we don't see Jesse Davis at all this year, quite frankly. I think that that's probably best-case scenario. But right. If he ends up being the best tackle, like you said, Brian Flores is going to give him that opportunity. So Jackson's going to have to earn it regardless.
Yeah, it's an interesting time this year for sure with the offensive line and figuring out how this team is going to be better than they were last year. You know, on paper, they pretty much stayed the same. They added Eichenberg. They added Matt Skura. We're about to get into the center position here in a second. They can't be as bad as they were last year. I mean, their only way they can go is up, right? I mean, the Dolphins at times look like a very good, well-oiled machine, and then there are times that the offensive line just completely failed to a Tagovailoa late in the year, and you can easily point to the Raiders game and easily point to the Buffalo Bills game in Week 17 because that offensive line play was atrocious.
Yeah, don't forget that Denver game too was not great.
That was awful there too, and you know what? They knew how to attack, and that, you know, I can't fault either, you know, really any of those guys. The biggest thing was the scheme that Denver ran in that game. They attacked right up the middle, and they had no way to protect the quarterback at all. So they need to fix a lot of things. But I think the tackle spot potentially with Eichenberg out there or Robert Hunt, I would, like you said, I prefer Hunt to kick inside. I liked his tape from college when he was that road grader. He seems like he's more of a physical presence when he's inside the offensive line, not playing at tackle. I think you have a more viable guy that you just drafted, Leon Eichenberg, who I believe gave up, what, one pressure in 2020? At the tackle spot for Notre Dame, he played injured. I believe in the playoff, he played injured and still did a great job. And Ian Book is just terrible, but Eichenberg, I think, is going to be the guy to keep your eye on at right tackle. He may not start there right away, but he needs to be on the football field as quickly as possible. I think they could have hit a very good second round pick with him. Hopefully he can win the job out of camp because I can't stand any more Jesse Davis at tackle. So at center, the Dolphins did make a change. They brought in Matt Skura from Baltimore, who go back 2 years ago prior to his injury, he was a top five center in the NFL. He gets hurt, and then late in the year last year, he had the yips. The man just could not snap the ball back to Lamar Jackson at all. Over his head, on the ground, it was bad. So mentally, hopefully he is right, because the Dolphins are going to play primarily shotgun. They're going to play some pistol. That is to Tua's strengths. So hopefully it does get a little bit better at center. Last year, it wasn't terrible by any means. But Skura's got to be the guy. They added in Cameron Tom as well. It's not an impressive group, Dante. So it's Skura bust. So what are your thoughts at the center position?
Yeah, I mean, I think you pretty much covered it. I don't know how much more I can add. I mean, it's got to be Matt Skur, right, replacing Ted Karras, who went back to New England. Right. Obviously, I think everyone was hoping that we were going to get David Andrews, and he ended up going back to New England as well, which is odd, weird. I guess I'm going to go with. But, you know, like you said, I think – the thing with Skura, maybe a change of scenery will do him some justice. Like you said, I mean, a couple of years ago, he was very, very good. That 2019 Ravens team, I believe off the top of my head, you know, where they ran all over the place, Lamar Jackson's first year as MVP year. Skura, I believe, was the center on that team, if I remember correctly. But he was quite good, and that whole offensive line was very good, and the Dolphins could really use that in the middle. I think people underestimate how important centers can be, especially to a young rookie quarterback. If you have a cerebral center, you know, he's able to take some of the pressure off of the quarterback to ID blitzers, free rushers, get people lined up, coordinate protection slides, different things like that. So if you have a center capable of doing those things, and again, I don't know how much Ted Karras did those things or what, but you know, if Skura can get back and even just provide a little bit of an upgrade in that area, I think that's immensely valuable. And then one of the underrated things we also talk about is, you know, can he snap the ball straight back to the quarterback? And there was a little bit of a problem with that. I think, you know, that I'm pretty sure that showed up in the playoff game last year against Buffalo. I think they had a couple of botched snaps in that game as well with Lamar Jackson. So obviously you don't want to see that, but maybe a change of scenery is something that helps Matt Skura kind of, you know, get back to what he was doing. But, you know, I think the reality of the situation was this is a player coming off a very serious injury and he just wasn't ready. He just wasn't completely back yet. So you hope that with a full offseason on a new team, then he kind of gets back there. The only other player on the roster I think is remotely interesting to talk about at center is obviously Michael Dieter, who is, you know, the quote, the starting guard right now. But I think, you know, we saw him at center last year. He had one bad performance when he came in. I think that might have been against Cincinnati. And then he came in against New England, and I thought he was pretty good in that one. Yeah. So Dieter's kind of been up and down. He's been a big disappointment getting drafted out of Wisconsin. Obviously, he was supposed to be like a starter type player, and he's very much been a backup. So I'm assuming he's going to end up being that, you know, kind of swing guy where he's going to be the backup guard and the backup center for Miami behind Matt Skura. So, you know, he's another guy to watch for in camp. But like you said, I think it's Skura or bust at this point. There's not much behind him. Cameron Tom, never trust a guy with two first names. So I don't know what, you know, he's going to be doing. Yeah. So it's going to be Matt Skura. We'll see what happens. I like that they're giving him a shot. I think it's worth they're not paying him much, frankly. So I think it's a good, you know, we're going to buy low on a guy who used to be really good and hope that we can get him even like, I mean, if he's half the guy he was 2 years ago, he's much better than Ted Karras. So I think that's a win in the Dolphins book. And again, you just want to see steady play from that position. He doesn't have to be a world beater. He doesn't have to be the best center in the NFL. Just somebody who's steady, reliable. That's already going to be better, I think, than what they got last year from Ted Karras.
Yeah. And, you know, the most important thing, and one thing I always think about too, is most people talk about the tackle as the cog of the offensive line. In my opinion, it's the center, because the center has more responsibility. He's the one that has to check. He's the one that has to talk to the guys next to him. So he's got two guards to the right and to the left. And he needs to be able to, you know, see what's happening before that ball is snapped and help the quarterback understand what's going on. So if Tua has to audible, it's coming from Matt Skura. Hey, Matt, hey, guy's coming up the, you know, he's coming up the A gap, guy's coming around the corner, you know, whatever. They got to communicate better. Skura has experience. He was on a very good run team, so we know the guy can run block decently. Pass pro is going to be the biggest thing for this team. I think the Dolphins are definitely going to be slinging the rock a lot to the first game of the season. I know you're praying for it. I'm doing the same thing because I love the wide receiver corp. We talked about that on the last show. Let's get into the guards. You know, we talked about already Robert Hunt. Solomon Kinley is pinned. You can put him in permanent marker. He's playing one of the guard spots, whether it's left guard or right guard. We talked about Robert Hunt. The likelihood is he's going to probably kick inside. One guy that we did not talk about is DJ Fluker. I know he's a swing player. He could play either a tackle. He can swing inside the guard if need be. I know tackle is probably more natural for him. That's where he's been playing for most of his career. For the guards, obviously, this is the most important part. If you're trying to run the football, you need your guards to be road graders. You need those guys to absolutely destroy the opposition at the snap. how do you like the guards, and is there going to be a battle here for the interior?
Well, I'm assuming that the rumor that Robert Hunt is getting kicked into guard is true. So I'm assuming that him and Solomon Kinley are pretty much penned in there. I feel like they wouldn't kick him in. Obviously, Brian Flores is going to come out. Everybody has to earn it, blah, blah, blah. But I would assume that those are the two guards, right? So I think that, you know, that's what Miami wants to be in the run game. They want to be road graders. They want to be this team that's going to, you know, beat you up and knock you off the ball. And, you know, you go back to, you know, Georgia film, Solomon Kinley. You go back to, you know, Louisiana film with Robert Hunt. I mean, that's what they were. They were butt kickers in the trenches. They were pancaking dudes, you know, good hand power, you know, driving guys off the ball vertically, laterally, good power, lower body strength. And that's what the Dolphins wanted. They want to be that team in the run game. So, you know, you want to see those guys play guard. I think that's they're going to end up being the starting guards. I think Fluker maybe could push them for that spot because he has the experience. I think he's a little bit more valuable as your backup swing tackle, even though I don't love him there. I do think he's better than Jesse Davis. So I think I'd rather have him as the backup swing tackle and then Davis maybe as the backup swing guard where you can kind of play either guard spot. But I would assume it's got to be Kinley and Hunt. And I think, again, they go to the identity of what the Dolphins want to be in the running game. The big question with those guys, I think less so for Hunt, more for Kinley, is going to be how do they adapt and you know, what do they do as far as pass protection goes? You know, one of the big things with Hunt, one of the reasons I don't think he was ever going to be a tackle was a lack of foot speed and a lack of hip flexibility. He just does not handle bend and speed well. At guard, it's a lot easier because you don't have to protect that outside shoulder. And I think that is something that will benefit him. Kinley, obviously, we have to see how he recovers from injury. He was very much a different player last year after he came back from the foot injury. He did not have the same juice that he had early in the season. Kind of the same thing we saw from Austin Jackson. So you kind of wonder, okay, was that the rookie wall? Was that an injury problem? Or did defenses figure out where these guys are bad and they're just exposing them now? You know, so you kind of have to, we'll see what that happens. Again, I don't have a definitive answer. It could be any of those three things. It's probably a combination of all three, if we're being completely honest. So we'll have to see those guys develop. And that's kind of the theme with this offensive line. How do these guys develop? Miami's, you know, relying on a lot of unknowns and specifically relying on a lot of development from young players, whether that's a rookie in Liam Eikenberg or second year players in Hunt, Kinley and Jackson, because I'm assuming that all that's going to be 4/5 of the starting offensive line at some point in the season. I don't know if it's week 1, but they'll probably get there at some point. So again, development's going to be the theme. And I think that's going to be, you know, the big thing for the guards in Hunt and Kinley.
Yeah. I think one of the things obviously missing last year, and it goes for every team, but for a young team like the Dolphins, not having preseason games did not allow these guys to gel early. I think getting that experience, getting those reps in live action, obviously they have 2 joint practices this summer as well. I think that is huge. So you're going up against competition during the week in practice against guys you don't practice with all the time, and then you play them in the preseason game. There's a lot of good things that Brian Flores is setting up for success for these guys. And again, these guys are still young. They're in their young 20s. Getting the experience, I think, will help in the long run. And hopefully these guys develop. And I think if you have Kinley and you have Hunt as your interior guys, I think the Dolphins will be able to run the football a little more effectively. Granted, we don't have that power horse back that can run between the tackles frequently. I know Gaskin has some juice. Malcolm Brown has some juice. He can definitely run some guys over, but these are more outside the tackle runners. You want to get these guys on the outside to attack those linebackers and the corners and try to break some big runs there. But if you have solid interior guys, you can definitely move the pile. You can get those 3rd and shorts, which we know the Dolphins have struggled with for, God, a better part of a decade. They can't get 3rd and shorts. They can't get the 4th downs because they just can't run the football with the guys that they've had up front. So hopefully big improvement from the offensive line, and we can really see this group gel in the in training camp, because I think this is going to be very important to get an entire summer worth of work without interruptions like they did last year with COVID. So before we move into the special teams units, Dante, it is that time. We need to talk about Manscaped before we move forward. So the Olympics, Euros, baseball, major championships, and concerts are all in this summer. You know what isn't? A wild and hairy bush. Tame your pubes with help from our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Their fourth-generation performance package includes the brand-new Lawnmower 4.0. If an athlete treats their body like royalty, why not treat your pubes like Olympic gold? Fellas, do right by your balls and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and using the promo code DolphinsTalk and save 20% and get free shipping on your next order. All right, let's get into the special teams unit. We're not going to spend a ton of time here because we don't really need to talk about it very much. We got just a couple quick changes to the roster, and I think we want to talk about a little bit about Jakeem Grant's role on this team. We touched on it in part one, but we know that he's a big special teams player. He's the kick returner, punt returner for the team. We'll see if that changes. We're going to talk about that in a second. But Jason Sanders, real quick, Jason Money Sanders was absolutely phenomenal last year, all-pro kicker for the Miami Dolphins, phenomenal player, well-deserved contract extension. I have very little concern about Jason Sanders, and neither do the Dolphins. For the first time in, I believe, 3 or 4 years, they have not brought in any other kicker for competition. They know they have their guy, and Jason Sanders is that guy. Real quick, he did lose his punter, Matt Hawk. Matt Hawk has ended up signing with the Buffalo Bills, and the Dolphins signed as a free agent Michael Pilardi, formerly of the Carolina Panthers. Now, he's coming off an injury in 2020 where he missed a good bulk of the season. And he's coming back. Like I said, we're not going to touch base on this too much. A new punter and a new holder in Pilardi. Could that affect Jason Sanders this season? If at all. I mean, obviously he had camaraderie with Hawk. They were known for the Mountaineer shot and a couple other special teams plays that they pulled off that were called back by penalty. But is this something that we need to keep our eye on in camp?
I mean, I guess you should keep an eye on it. I don't think it's going to affect field goal kicking too much. They'll have plenty of time to build chemistry and kind of practice what they want there. And Pilardi can kind of get used to Sanders. What it could affect is, you know, some of the special teams, you know, like the Mountaineer shot plays and stuff like that. Matt Hawk was kind of a low-key and underrated athlete, at least by a punter's standards, as far as what he was able to do throwing the ball and being quick enough to kind of run up to the line of scrimmage and throw pop shots and different things like that. So, you know, is Pilardi that guy? I honestly have no idea. We'll find out. We'll see. So I think that's where, you know, it could affect them. But as far as like holding goes, how many botch snaps do you see a year across the NFL? Like 5? Maybe, you know what I mean?
No, there still is an image in my head. There's an image in my head of Brandon Fields getting it right in the grill.
That's a tough one, but that was a long time ago now, right? Like we can't even recall
like you said, you know, it could affect some of the special teams. Danny Grossman did a great job with the unit last year. He's very creative in what he can come up with for the special teams unit. And, you know, this could be a change. I'm sure they've been working with Michael Pilardi for getting him prepared to do some of these things. But, you know, it's wait and see mode. There is only one kicker and there is only one punter. So there is really no competition there. But really, for me, where it's going to be is the kick return and punt return role, because that has solely really belonged to Jakeem Grant. And now Jakeem Grant may not be on the roster. So looking at the depth chart right now as it sits, you have Noah Igbinoghene, who did some returns in college. Right now he's listed as the backup guy. And I know they've talked about it in the papers. They've talked about it on social media. And every time I read it, I want to vomit. Having Jaylen Waddle returning kicks. I've since Preston Williams' injury, I get a twitch thinking about a component of the offense back there returning kicks. Jakeem Grant, he's the gadget guy. He's not a guy that you're going to rely on for big plays as a wide receiver. You know, they give him the shovel passes. They give him reverses. They try to throw the ball deep to him. If he can catch it, great. Doesn't really happen as often. But he's an electric kick returner. how much of that is going to play into the role of the Dolphins saying, are we going to keep the guy or not?
I mean, I think that should be his only role on the team, and that's why I would keep him. I think, you know, and we crap on Grant a lot, but I do think that he is a good kick slash punt returner. I mean, he's probably good for about a touchdown a year. He typically, you know, is able to create, you know, a couple of big ones per year, five or six-ish. So I think that is – how about Williams returning kicks now? No, thank you. No, I've seen that one already. I've seen that movie already. Yeah, no stars on that one. But, you know, I think that – I don't want Jaylen Waddle back there either, okay? I want that. I want that on the record. I have no desire to see Jaylen Waddle back there, quite frankly. With that said, there is no question that he's the best kick returner on the roster. I'm just saying – he's incredibly, incredibly good, and I would imagine that he would be good for a couple of really good returns this year as well. So I would get it. I'm not in favor of it. I don't want to see it. Throw Noah back there. Throw, you know, Jakeem Grant back there. But if you want to save that roster spot and you're like, look, Jaylen Waddle is electric, we're going to put him back there. There is technically no data that says that players get hurt more often on kickoff returns than they do playing regular football. That, you know, it's just kind of like a fan thing that we've all kind of grasped onto. That, you know, it's kind of a myth, really. But again, I do not want to see that. I have absolutely zero interest in Jaylen Waddle returning kicks this year. But he's definitely the best guy on the team. I would keep Jakeem Grant around for it. I think he's good at it, frankly. I think that's his best role on the team. I don't know how much more usage you're going to get out of one of those last roster spots as far as a guy who's going to be good enough back there. So that's what I would do. But we'll see. If it ends up being Noah Igbinoghene, that's fine. You know, the NFL is really at a point now where I think most teams just want a guy who's going to catch the football. You know, he's just going to fair catch the ball and get the ball to the offense every time. You know, if something good happens, you'll take it. But, you know, most teams right now do not have a guy who's going to create a lot of touchdowns for you. And I think the Dolphins could take advantage of that with Jakeem Grant.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, it really does boil down to how they view that wide receiver position group, right? We already know the top four. We talked about it already on the first show. I'll reiterate again. DeVante Parker, Jaylen Waddle, Will Fuller, and arguably Albert Wilson or Preston Williams are your top four, right? I throw Albert Wilson probably in the top four over Preston Williams right now. That leaves really two spots, right? They like Mac Hollins. They like him a lot as a special teams guy and as a spot wide receiver last year. He did okay. I'm not going to say that he's going to get 30, 40% of the offensive snaps this year as a regular, but, you know, he's a good spot player and he's a good flyer on the outside, decent player. But they also added in special teams guys in the offseason. They added Duke Riley, right? So there are guys that could take these roles, and I just can't see the Dolphins keeping more than six wide receivers on the roster. So it really is going to be intriguing to me how they work this out. But I'm with you. Jaylen Waddle is off limits. Do not let him return kicks. I think his use is going to be helping Tua open up the offense more. And, I mean, the guy's electrifying. Don't get me wrong. I've seen so many of his kick returns from Alabama, just how elusive, how quick he is. But again, Grant does the same thing. So does he make the roster or not is a question. The Xavien Howard thing we'll get into in part three of our series. But if Noah Igbinoghene has to play big, big role in the secondary, I would probably not want him there either. You know, so a lot of intrigue there on the special teams role, but like you said, the most part is catch the damn ball when it's on a punt, fair catch it and catch it. Don't bobble it or fumble it. And on the kick returns, I mean, what was the percentage of touchbacks last year? It had to be over 65, 70% of touchbacks.
Yeah, it's not even there's no point.
Yeah. So, I mean, most of the time you're not returning kicks, but there are those moments where the ball is inside, you know, the 5-yard line and you need to get it out of there. So you got to have a guy that can do it. So it's going to be an interesting camp to see who's returning those kicks. Obviously, we're not going to be worrying about the kickers or the punters at this point. Long snapper Blake Ferguson, I mean, no qualms. I think he was a good snapper last year. Had no issue with him. I he should easily win the job in camp. I don't really think there's much of a battle there either, which is why I mentioned at the top show, this is going to be a shorter show for us, which brings me to the conclusion of it. That'll wrap it up. So that is part two of our training camp preview. Dante and I will be back for part three to talk about the Miami Dolphins defense and the amount of depth and talent they have added to this group. You know, a top five scoring defense last year. I think they do still have some improvements that need to get done, but they've added so much talent, and I can't wait to dive into that with Dante later here in the week. We'll get that schedule out to you guys here soon. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk Tom. You can follow Dante Colonelli at Dante Colonelli. As always, Dante,
thank you pleasure for to listening have you to with the me. DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.